Hey, friends. Welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Amen. Before you sit down, turn to people, high-five them, say, He is risen. Happy Easter. God is good. Praise the Lord. Again, we've been welcomed already by Emma, but again, if this is your first time, you are so welcome to St. Mark's Church. We're delighted that you're able to join us. Today, we are celebrating the one who gave his utmost for the highest. We are rejoicing in the highest name. We are giving Jesus the highest place, and we're going to see the reason for all of this today. Please God, through the preaching of the word. We're going to turn to the Bible, which is so much more important than what I have to say, and we're going to read from Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 11. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mind, the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, hallelujah, and gave him the highest name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, amen. Lord, thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Some of you who follow me on social media will know that I posted this during the week, this extraordinary image. It was in a picture that was taken by a friend of Pete Grieg. Pete Grieg is the guy who heads up 24/7 prayer internationally. And his friend in Madrid took this photograph. And I think this photograph, a picture tells a thousand words. This photograph encapsulates so much of what this Easter weekend has been expressing to us. Here we see Jesus on the cross, and he's been discarded. And he's being thrown out with the rubbish. And the world is saying, this is where you belong. You belong among the rubbish. You belong among the trash. And we see that this is something that really is a highlighter of what happened on Good Friday and what we celebrated on Good Friday. And guys, didn't our youth and Nate and Gorman do an incredible job? Can we give it up for them? Incredible job. And we see that there he is, discarded by humanity, just put on a cross, just to be forgotten, just to waste away, to die away, to fade away. And we know that he died in a place called Golgotha, the skull. We know that it was Calvary. But we also know that it was the place where people went out to throw their rubbish, that it was in a lot of ways a rubbish tip. And so this is just exemplifying Good Friday in such a powerful way. But there's another way to look at this picture. And the other way to look at this picture is that there's Jesus dying on the cross, and there behind him is our trash. And you see, Jesus died on the cross to take away all of my rubbish and all of your rubbish, all of our filth and all of our sin, all of our darkness, all of our badness. And he, praise the Lord, was willing voluntarily and intentionally to go to Calvary, to die on a cross, to be counted among the trash and the rubbish so that we would never have to carry our own trash through life and into eternity. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is victorious on that cross. And we praise the Lord for this King who died in our place. Amen. You see, in a sense, we can say because Jesus went so low, he was then the one who was worthy to be exalted to the highest place. Now, people might be hearing, you might be saying, well, look, in all fairness, Sean, we kind of could tell that this was going to be the ending because he was God, he is God, he is the Alpha and the Omega. It was all going to come up roses. But the scripture that we've just read today paints a different picture. It takes nothing for granted. And we saw in chapter 2, verse 6 of Philippians there that though being in very nature God, though being God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. The New Living Translation says he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. And the English Standard Version says he did not count equality with God a thing that he had to grasp and just hold on to. And then we read in verse 7 that he made himself nothing. Now, brothers and sisters, we're human beings. We're not divine. We're human beings, and we find it so hard to empty ourselves. We find it so hard to empty our attics. Amen. That's a prophetic word to someone. We find it so hard to empty our sheds, empty our hands. We want to hold onto everything. And can you imagine being in very nature God and emptying yourself? Jesus taking on humanity was enough of a humbling. No, it wasn't. Even in his humanity, he wanted to empty himself for our sake. He gave up his divine privileges, it says in the New Living Translation. In the English Standard Version, it says he emptied himself. And then in the New King James, he said he made himself of no reputation. This is our God. This is the one who came to humble himself, to take on the low life. Jesus took on lowness and lowliness. He made himself low in humility. He took on the nature of a servant. He embraced emptiness so all we would ever know is fullness. Because he came that we might have life and have it in all of his abundance. How are we going to attain to this life? He had to give up his life for us to receive the fullness of life that we craved for, that we needed, that we knew we were made for. He was low in humility. He was low in servanthood. He was considered the lowest of the low, even by criminals that were dying with him until one of them had a revelation. He was considered by the world the lowest of the low. He's dying a criminal's death, naked on a cross. Isn't it extraordinary that Isaiah 53 prophesied this, spoke of the Messiah that would come, that would empty himself and would lay down his life, going to the lowest place for you and for me. Isaiah 53, verse 2, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Get this, the low life, the truly empty, holding Jesus in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by God, afflicted. But he was pierced for our sins and transgressions. He was crushed for our failings and iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, every single one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus went so low. First of all, leaving heaven, he in humility takes on flesh. He becomes incarnate. He becomes the incarnate God. He's walking among us. Will he use his divine, his godness, to kind of just sail through this life? No, what he will do is he will empty himself. So we will get to understand what it's like for every single human being to live in this world. What it's like to be tempted and tested. What it's like to get stones caught in your foot. What it's like to have a bad night's sleep. What it's like to have anxiety and to worry about stuff. What it's like to sweat tears of blood. And Jesus will empty himself. Take on no reputation. And be despised by the very ones that he came to love on and to bless. The heights of heaven to the lowness of earth, to the lowest life that could be lived on earth. And then we think about his death on the cross. How low can you go? Lord, you're dying like a criminal on a cross, naked there for the world to see. How embarrassing, how shameful. But in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about this Jesus. And it talks about heaven and earth. And then it talks about under the earth. How low can you go? Jesus is going to go there on my behalf, on your behalf. And we can see, praise the Lord, that Jesus went further from the cross. He went even lower. He went even lower for you, for me. Now, I used to go to a different church back in the day when I was young, and we used to have a creed in our church, and we used to say the creed every Sunday. And one of the parts was that he descended into hell. And, bless the Lord, I understand that, and I understand where they got that from, but it's not, I'm not a know-it-all, and I want you to check this out in the Bible yourselves, but he didn't descend into hell because hell hasn't kind of got going yet, in the sense of hell is waiting there for after Judgment Day when Satan, formerly Lucifer the angel, Satan and his fallen angels, the demonic, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Isn't it interesting that the lake of fire was never created for human beings? It was created for Satan and the fallen angels. And so those that align themselves with Christ, praise the Lord, come into the fullness of life. And those that align themselves with the one who has no future but a lake of fire are purposely choosing by their will to go to that place. God has never created the lake for any human being. But Jesus goes to a place that in the Old Testament it's called Sheol. And in the New Testament it's called Hades, the Greek word. And for want of a better expression, And we don't, please hear me. We don't believe in purgatory in this church. We don't believe that there's a place you go to and your relatives can pray you out. We believe that while you're alive, you have a free will and you make your decisions here. And that determines your fate. That determines where you go. But the understanding of Sheol and Hades, it needs a greater study. And it's one of the most complicated things for theologians even to kind of comprehend fully, because we don't have too much on it. But the best way I can express it to you, it's like a waiting room. And one of the greatest images that we have of it is in Luke chapter 16, where we see Lazarus, the poor man, full of sores, and he's begging every single day, and he lives next to a wealthy man, and they both die. And we find out that the wealthy man, who's unnamed, we know the poor Lazarus, who went to glory, Lazarus, and they go to Hades. Now, we know that Lazarus ends up in the part of Hades that is understood to be called the bosom of Abraham, the waiting room where the righteous, those who have love the Lord, those who've sought to live by his grace all of their days, that's where they go. And then there's kind of the real Hades. They're not so nice place, the place where people know that they're stuck and their decision has been honored, their free will and their choices have been understood by the divine. And they're in the other place, the place where they know that they are stuck. It brings to mind the song, Stuck in a Moment, You Can't Get Out Of. And so we see all of this, and you're kind of going, okay, so what's that got to do with Resurrection Sunday, lowness? Well, when Jesus was buried in the tomb, he went down to the bosom of Abraham. He went down to the place where all those who had believed in God in previous generations were waiting for the one who would be the Messiah, the fulfillment of all things. And praise God, we see this explained beautifully in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, when God ascended, when Jesus ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. What's that about? That's him going low to under the earth, praise the Lord, to Hades, to the lads waiting. Who's going to fulfill the prophecy? Who's going to be the Messiah? Jesus knows he's been accepted as the sacrificial lamb. Glory to God. He goes down, not for a visit, to make a proclamation. I am he. I've got you guys. Come on, let's go. We're getting out of here. We're getting you guys out of here. The wait is over. That's why, praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we're not kind of showing the door to Hades with regards to the waiting room. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Because praise the Lord, it is finished, it is done, hallelujah. The Messiah has arrived. All for us is to be taken from this life into his glorious presence. So when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, verse 9, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Wow. Praise the Lord. Not only did he fulfill all of the prophecies, not only did he fulfill the life that was needed to live to be the perfect sacrifice, he is one now and he lives to fill all things. Fulfill and fill full. What an amazing Savior that we serve. What an amazing God. So my brother, my sister, praise the Lord, you might feel that you're in a low place today. You might feel that you're in the depths. And Jesus would say, no, you're not yet. There's not anyone in this place that's not redeemable. Every single one of us, no matter what we've done, what we've thought, what we've said, no matter what has happened in our lives, no matter what has been perpetrated against us, there is no one in this place that is unworthy to receive the reward of what the Lamb suffered for you for. Jesus Christ is so powerful. If you've ever been called a lowlife, what an amazing testimony Reuben gave us today. Can we give it up for Reuben and bless him? If you've ever been called a lowlife, if you've been tempted to believe, even in a dysfunctional family or a dysfunctional world, that you are more akin to lowlife than being someone special, can I say over you today, that is a lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. There are Christians here. There are Christians here that have phenomenal purpose all over them and in them. And you know, in your heart of hearts, you know Jesus. You know when you take your last breath where you're going. But you know in your heart of hearts that you are not living to the full potential for which God put you on earth. You know that you are living beneath, in that low place, in the shadows, rather than living in the light and living as light. Praise the Lord. Living your best life for the one who died to give you the highest experience of life. We bless you today. Resurrection Sunday is for all of you. For those who've ever been called low life, for those who believe they're low life, for those who are living a lower life than they're meant to be living, Resurrection Sunday is for you. This is the day of fresh starts, new beginnings. This is a day where you can take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living within you. That's what the good book tells us. That's what the good book tells us. Jesus can take my low life and your low life, and he can take us into the highest life. He can cause us to have these feelings of joy where we feel that we're spiritually high and it's pure and it's full of all the good things God has for us. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this Resurrection Sunday. He is alive. He is risen indeed. We have hope. We have a great future in Jesus' name. Because of Resurrection Sunday, none of us here are any longer low life. You know why? Because by dying on the cross and by giving up his life, when the world said you're a waster, you're a failure, you're a mess, you need to be thrown among the trash, you're low life, Jesus went to the cross to pay for us, redeem us, die in our, because he felt that we are treasure. He felt that we have a significance that we need to know about. He felt that we have a future that can lead to a fulfilled life if we would only allow him to fill us to the full, in Jesus' name. The high life. Everybody wants the high life. And the understanding of the high life has been so thwarted by the enemy that it tries to cover our eyes from the high calling, the high nature of Jesus, the high life that God has ordained for us. And so we are tempted to walk the earth with a great hunger for what the world is presenting to us as the high life. Reuben did a brilliant job describing what all the world had offered him and said, this will make you so joyful. We want to be part of the high society. We want to drink our tea with our little finger up. We want to talk posh. We want to go up to the high places. We want to have our name high in lights. We seek great experiences that will leave us feeling high and elated. So we seek to live above and beyond pain and poverty. And that's okay. That's an okay desire to have. God wants you to live above the realm of pain and poverty. But we want for nothing. We want to be overwhelmed by privilege. We want to enjoy every indulgence known to our flesh. We want to have great luxury all around us, fine clothes, gourmet food, and a full social calendar. Look at all of my friends. I'm so important. This is the high life. Self-indulgent, self-centered, and selfish. This is the high life that the world points to. And then, God bless us, as people try to get into that high life, some people end up so disappointed and so despondent that they then are led to believe that the high life can be found at the end of a needle, at the end of a bottle, at the end of a prescription. An article from Time magazine caught my eye. And I'm always amazed when the world starts even understanding the world. This is not a Christian magazine, nor is it a Christian who's writing the article. It was from March the 7th, 2022. And I know some of you like to check your sources and see if I'm talking porkies. So the guy who wrote this is Matt Fuchs. Humans aren't big fans of the status quo. We yearn for new experiences and rewards, whether by seeking a new meal, job, or creative project. Such diverse behaviors are spurred by a chemical in the brain called dopamine. Let's call it the motivation molecule. In the modern world, though, dopamine has a dark side. Substances that give us great pleasure, from coffee to cocaine, can raise dopamine levels too high. And digital technologies such as video games and social media, and I would add pornography, may affect us similarly. Because our brains are wired to restore balance, peak levels of dopamine can be followed, listen, by painful crashes marked by cravings for more thrills. Indulging repeatedly. This is an article from someone in the world describing the world, describing our self-indulgence. Indulging repeatedly will lead to addiction and ultimately to anxiety and depression. My brother, my sister, we are pointing you to the high life of Jesus because the high life of the world doesn't exist. And all it leads to is addiction and anxiety and depression. But the Lord has come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. And he is a truth speaker. And he is a truth teller. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus comes to planet Earth. He comes to planet greed. He comes to planet selfishness. And he arrives, love in the flesh, God incarnate. And he starts saying crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All the people of the world have already heard so many times, this is the way to the high life. Get yourself a platform. Get yourself a name. Get yourself a reputation. Get yourself known. Get yourself riches. Get yourself wealth. Get yourself the best food, the best house. That's all they've heard. And Jesus comes, and in Mark 9, verse 35, he sits his disciples down and he says to them, anyone who wants to be first among you must be the last. Whoever wants to be first must be the last and the servant of all. And then in Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over people. People in this world believe that the highest place you can get to is having power over people. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over people. And I love this description that the Lord has given to these people. They're high officials. They exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be the greatest among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life in payment for many, as a ransom for many. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday, good news. It goes on. Do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. That's the low life according to the world. God wants you to have the high life. So rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in the keeping of this one commandment. Love your neighbor as... Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what it didn't say there? You know what it didn't say? Love your Christian neighbor. Amen. Hello? Is that in your Bible as well? Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Wherever they come from, whatever faith they have, whatever color of their skin, glory to God. This is the house of the Lord. This is the house of compassion, of love. Jesus is saying selfishness is not the way to the high life. Jesus is saying selflessness is the way to the high life. The fulfilled life is the life focused on God and your neighbor. This fulfills even all of the prophets and the law, loving God first and loving your neighbor. Jesus then starts to live the high life. He starts to exhibit the high life. He begins to show us as a complete human being what it's like to live the high life from the kingdom of God's perspective. Jesus takes on every test that the world can throw at him, and Jesus gets an A+ on every test. He gets an A+ in gentleness. He gets an A+ in compassion. He gets an A+ in love, humility, sacrificial living, care, sincerity, purity, service, holiness. He gets an A+ in truth-telling and good news. He gets an A+ in justice and genuine fairness. He gets an A+ in leadership, focus, and decisiveness. He gets an A+ in hope and joyfulness. He gets an A+ in courage and faith. He gets an A+ in self-control and wisdom. I could go on and on and on. But in every expression of the best form of humanity, of what humanity looks like when it lives in the favor of God, Jesus is the highest achiever. He fulfills and fills to the full perfect humanity. He displays to everyone that he truly is the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb, the one who was worthy to be slain. Wow. Imagine living a life in the hope that you pass all the world's tests. And what's the price? That you're worthy to be slain. That expresses the love that Jesus had for you. That every time he did a good turn, every time he turned up and he passed a test from the world, every time where he was tempted to sin, he didn't sin, every time he got an A+ in living as a human being, he was preparing himself to be the Lamb that would be spotless enough to die for you and for me. How loved are we? Jesus is the example of the high life. If you want the high life, it's not money. It's not the best suit. It's not the best car, the best house, the best life companion. The high life is the companionship of Jesus, the abundant life. I am come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. So my brothers and sisters, this Easter Sunday 2025, for all the craziness that's going on in our world, welcome once again to the highest life. Welcome to the highest expression of life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Every single one of us in this place, we have something in common. We long to go higher and we know we're made for more. We know we're made for more. We know that God has so much in store for us. We know that it's been thwarted maybe by our bad habits, maybe stuff that we need to sort out before God. But we certainly know there's an enemy who doesn't want us to succeed. And I pray in Jesus' name, that on this Resurrection Sunday, that you would get that boost spiritually to break through, amen. To break through the sin that's holding you back. To break through the habits that have held you in chains. To break through mediocrity and a happiness with living in the shadows. And I pray you come into his glorious light in all of its fullness. And that you come into a new day. Jesus went so low, and because Jesus embodied and lived the true high life, he came into new life. Jesus got the first fresh start. Jesus was resurrected. And because he was resurrected, we all now have hope of the resurrection in Jesus' name. Because of his low, humble, serving life, he perfectly lived, and his daily life hitting every A+ and passing every test. And because of his perfect sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection, glory to God, we in him enter into his finished work. We have access to the highest God. We have access to the best life. And we have access to a new freedom. Brothers and sisters, there's certain people I want to talk to right now. This risen Lord wants to raise people from their pit today. He wants to raise people's countenance. Too many heads are down low. Too many heads are stuck in the news. Too many heads are depressed and anxious. And he wants to raise you up. Do you know, there was something joyful and yet something very, very sad that happened for myself and Susan. We had the privilege there on Susan's birthday to go to Andre Rue in the Tree Arena. And one of the songs that they sing, and fair play to them, they put a church in the background, which was nice. But they sang that song, You Raise Me Up. The sadness part of me is the amount of people that were around me weeping because they all longed to be raised up. But they're singing that song, thinking of someone that might be a family member. And God forgive me, I'm not trying to offend anyone here. But sometimes even with wrong theology, and again, I'm not a know-it-all. I know very, very little. But what I know is that my predeceased, the people that have loved me, that have gone ahead for me, they can't do anything for me now. There's this thing in Ireland where, you know, nanny and granddad, you know, call out to them and they'll help you up. How? The only one that can raise you up is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that was raised up. He's the only one that was resurrected. And so with the greatest love and affection to your nan and your granddad or your mum or dad or a cousin or whatever, I'm sure they were amazing people. We loved them, we blessed them, but they can't do a thing for you here. The only one that can set you free, save you, give you new purpose and set you on a new path is Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Jesus passed the test. Jesus fulfilled the law. He was acceptable to the Father as the perfect sacrifice. He, hallelujah, was the highest and best sacrifice. He was the highest of high priests standing in the gap for us. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. And so he and he alone was worthy to be elevated to the highest life, to the highest place, with the highest name. Hallelujah. This is our King Jesus. He now inhabits the highest place. And you know what's the fantastic news today on this Easter Sunday? So do you. So do you. When you are in Christ and he inhabits the highest place, that means you do too. Sean, are you making that up? No, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him. He seated us with him. Where? He seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in the highest place, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves and your works, but it's a gift from God. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, welcome to church. Welcome to Easter Sunday. Welcome to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Most High. He has the highest name, the name above all names. He is the Most High God. He is the Most High Sacrifice. He is the highest of high priests. He is the one who resides in the highest place. He is shown the highest form of life. Jesus lived that life which led to the lowest death, but then led to the highest exaltation. And he ascended in glory. He is the highest achiever that the world has ever seen. And the day is going to come when everybody, and let's just say, bless him, let's just say Rory McIlroy is there with his masters. And you know what? Everyone who's ever achieved amazing stuff, you know, Arteta's there with the Champions League. And amen. So I said it prophetically. But they're all casting their crowns and they're throwing them at Jesus' feet. They're throwing them at Jesus' feet. They're throwing them at Jesus' feet. They're saying, you are the highest achiever. My achievement is nothing. My achievement is like tiddlywinks compared to your achievement, God, and what you have done. You are the great one. You have paid the highest price because you considered us the highest prize. And we thank you for loving us so much. Going to ask the worship team to join me up here. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you have an amazing rest of the day. And I pray that you have a lovely family time if you're going to family. And I believe you get it. And I hope you have a great bit of grub if you're going to family or not. And you just continue the celebration with friends and family. But can I just say this? And if I can have your full attention, even for the next 30 seconds. T- Today we celebrate the one who gave his utmost for the highest. The one who paid the highest price because he considered us to be the highest treasure. And this Savior, praise the Lord, is going to be the one before whom every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Now, we're not moving into emotional manipulation land here. We're not even moving into scare tactics. We're just remembering the words that we read on the screen in Philippians chapter 2, where it says, the day will come where every knee on earth, on heaven, and under the earth will bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the question of that day coming is not if, but when. And I want to submit to you today, respecting your free will, and I've got to respect your free will because God respects it so much that it makes an eternity of a difference, our free will. I want to ask you this question today. Will you bow now with repentance in your heart, in joyful surrender to the one who wants to take your high life and give you the highest life? Or are you going to delay it, put it off, not do it, but wait for the day when you will bow in solemn recognition, wishing that you weren't stuck in a moment that you can't get out of? I pray on this Resurrection Sunday that you would bow the knee to the highest King, the highest Savior, the highest Priest, the highest Sacrifice, the highest Lord from the highest place, and you would in your heart, just like Reuben did, with the help of his cousin Stephen, that you will in Jesus' name make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And watch all that resurrection life coming into you. And watch the spirit of grace and life coming into you. And you moving from a place of low living into the place of the highest calling. May the Lord bless every single one of you this day, this Easter Sunday. We love you. We bless you. He is risen in Jesus' name.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.